Brad, my ears are giving me more trouble than usual, so if you can't hear me back there, just give me a motion. I'll try to speak louder. All right, 1 John 4. Our subject is, this is the love of God. He says in verse 3, 1 John 5, 3, he says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." When you read the love of God, the love of God, it's talking about God's love for us, not our love for God. You know, when we've looked before how we saw the faith of Christ, which is Christ's faithfulness rather than our faith in Christ. This is the love of God. This is what the love of God accomplishes in us. We've been seeing, as we've looked at the love of God, we've seen in the last chapter that God's love makes us love one another. And then we saw that God's love takes away the fear of judgment, gives us boldness for the day of judgment. And here he's teaching us that God's love never fails to make us obedient to God's commandments. His love never fails to make us obedient to God's commandments. Now, first of all, the commandment that comes in power, that makes us obey, the commandment is from God the Father, given through Christ His Son. Look there at verse 21, 1 John 4, 21. He says, "And this commandment have we from Him." This commandment have we from Him. This is God the Father's command given to His people through Christ Jesus the Lord. You remember we saw that God told Moses, I will raise up a prophet like you from among your brethren. And Christ is that prophet. God told Moses, "I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." That was after God gave the law at Mount Sinai. Remember, they saw the mountain on fire, and they ran back and said, "Moses, you speak to God for us." And God said, they've spoken well. And he said, "I'm going to raise up a prophet like you, Moses, like unto you. And I'm going to put my command in his mouth, and he's going to speak my command." And when Christ came, he said, "I've not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment." He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And he said, "And I know that his commandment is life everlasting." His commandment is life everlasting. "So whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." So first off, let's understand, this is a commandment that the Father gives through Christ. Through Christ. He's the one that makes this effectual in us so that we obey His commandment. All right? What is the commandment? Look at the second part of verse 21. He says, "That he who loveth God, love his brother also." Go back up to 1 John 3 and look at verse 23. This is the law that God writes on the heart of his people in the new birth. This is the law right here that he writes on the heart of his people in the new birth. He said in verse 23, "This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment." Faith which worketh by love. Faith in Christ. Through faith in Christ, we've established the whole law of God. The law we broke in the garden, our sin's been taken away. All the commandments given at Sinai, though we weren't under it, we broke all those commandments. And he put all that sin away. He fulfilled everything in the law for his people. Established the law. Magnified it. Honored it. And through faith in him, that righteousness is ours. And we've established it. fully established it. That's why he says, believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And then love. The motive of the heart is love. We see Christ's love for us, and it creates a love for him, and our motive is love. It's not law, it's not legal, it's not threats, it's not terror or torment, it's love. Faith which worketh by love, that is the believer's rule of life. You'll have people tell you the law at Sinai is the believer's rule of life. Listen to this. Galatians 3:12, the law is not of faith. The law at Mount Sinai is not of faith. That was a covenant of works. This do, and you shall live. The law is not of faith. Listen to this. In Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. Your law keeping, or your lack of law keeping, has nothing to do with this. Well, what is it then? Faith which worketh by love. Faith which worketh by love. Christ said, I know that my Father's commandments life everlasting. You remember what 2 Corinthians 3 told us? It said the law of Sinai is the ministration of death. It's to minister death. It's to minister condemnation. And in case we don't know what law he's talking about, he said that law that was written and engraven in stones. That's the law at Sinai. But this law we're talking about is life everlasting. That was a covenant of works. This is a covenant of grace. We're talking about Christ coming. When God chose His people, here's why it's a covenant of grace. It's not God does something and we do something. The covenant of grace, God does it all. He does it all. God the Father, when He chose His people and gave us to Christ, He trusted Christ to do the whole work. Ephesians 1 says we're going to be to the praise of His glory who first trusted Christ. That's God the Father. He first trusted Christ. And Christ came forth and He did all the work. He did everything He promised and told us at the end of the work, it is finished. I did it. It's finished. It's accomplished. And because we're dead in sins, He comes to us and He brings us under the gospel, and the Spirit gives us life. And when He does this, Christ gives us this command. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And with that commandment comes the power. When He commands, there's power in that command. I could stand here and I could tell you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I could say it and say it and say it. And nothing's going to happen in your heart. But when He speaks it, it comes in power and you will obey. Everybody who hears His command, you won't hear it audibly. You won't hear it audibly. You may not even know you've heard it at first, but you're going to find yourself believing everything that's being said. And whereas the Scriptures used to be a jumbled up puzzle to you, you'll start looking in the Scriptures and you'll say, there it is. It says it right there. How did I never see that before? And what's happened, Christ has spoken to you in power. And then, when He does this, brethren, and He makes you behold how He loved us first, that's when your heart starts overflowing. You see what a sinner you are, what a wretch you are, and yet you see He loved you first. You didn't love Him first, He loved you first. And when you find that out, when He reveals that to His child, your heart overflows in love. Then you want to do something for Him, anything for Him. And He gives you this light and easy yoke. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I've loved you, that you also love one another. That's light and easy, isn't it? Believe on me. You're righteous. You're accepted of God. Everything's finished. Nothing else to be done. to part, to leave this earth and go and be with the Lord right now. Now, while you're here, love one another. Love one another. So that's the command. Now thirdly, let's go back to our text here, and he says our obedience to his command is because we've been born of God. He says in verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, that made us to be born again, everyone that loves him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Now, we have no more to do with the new birth than we had to do with our first birth. We have nothing to do with this new birth. Ephesians 2 says we were dead in sins, but God, He quickened us. He gave us life. We have nothing to do with it. John 1 said, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We have to be born of God. And faith is not of us. We don't muster up faith. Some people will say, well, He gives you life, but then you have to decide to believe or reject Him. No. No. This comes in power. This command comes in power. And He gives you the faith. Scripture says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man boast. If He left anything to us, we would steal the glory that belongs to God. We would boast in ourselves when we should be boasting only in the Lord. So it's not of us. The life He gives is of Him. The faith He gives, repentance He gives, everything is of the Lord in this thing of salvation. And what John's declaring here, do you believe God is sovereign? Do you believe He's sovereign in salvation? You would be surprised, brethren, how many people who say they believe He's sovereign in salvation, but by their actions and by what they do, prove they don't really believe that. They don't really believe it. John's declaring here God is sovereign in our salvation. He's declaring this is what God works in all His people. Right here. He does not fail to do this in all His people. Each and every one of His elect shall be brought to believe on Christ. And when He made a new nature in you, there's going to be love. There's going to be love. Whosoever, see that? Whosoever. That means all of them. Whoever it is that believes on Him, the reason he does it is he's been born of God. That's the only way. He's born of God. This is so of everybody that truly believes on Him, the reason is they were born of God. Christ said, when you've been born of God, He said there is no doubt that we'll love Him. No doubt about it. Remember He told the Pharisees, if you were of God, if you were born of God, you would love Me. You would. There's no doubt about it. Because God successfully works this in His people. And everyone that loveth Him, don't you like that? He says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him. It seems like it should say, and everyone that believeth Him. The first part says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. It looks like it ought to say, and everyone that believeth Him that begat. But you see, John almost is interchanging love and faith because they go together. In this life, love and faith must be together. They're always together. But listen to this. Everyone that loveth Him that begat, loveth Him also that's begotten of Him. Everyone. Everyone that's born of God, everyone that's been given this love of God, everyone that's begotten of Him loves their brethren that are begotten of Him. John's so dogmatic about this, he said there in verse 20, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. It's just that simple. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Loving your brother is the easier part, because you can see them. That doesn't take faith to love your brethren. You see them. It takes faith to love God. You don't see him. But everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that's begotten of him. Now try to get a hold of what John's saying here. Think about this. You look at the believer sitting next to you. That is a child of God. Think about that. Some of you sitting here have children here. You know, I wouldn't do anything to your children. You know why? I love you. I love you, so I love your children. I'm not going to hurt your children, do anything to your children. Those are your children. Well, every believer sitting here is a child of God. Born of God. A child of God. And if we love God, if we've been born of God, and we love God, we will love his children. That's just so. We will love his children. And charity, that love that is of God, never faileth. It never faileth. I don't understand why folks that don't want to be with brethren here, why do they want to go to heaven? That's all that's going to be, is being with brethren. Constantly. All the time. God's people love now, and we're going to love forever. This is never going to end. It never faileth. Never. That's why I go back over to 1 John 2. This is why John declared this so dogmatically. Look at verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. You know how many people, you know, since 1985 that I've had any spiritual sense about me till now, do you know how many people I've seen come and go? It's been a lot of them. A lot of them. People that acted so zealous and like the gospel was the greatest thing they'd ever heard, and they're just going to always be there. And then one day they just leave. But you know what else I've seen? There's a whole bunch of them that God plants, and they never go anywhere. I know some brethren that they were younger back in the early 2000s, and they go to every conference. I'd see them at every conference. I went down to Marvin's last year. I hadn't seen them in a while. I went down to Marvin's last year. There they are, sitting under the gospel. They just gotten too many infirmities to be able to travel, but they're still sitting there listening to the gospel. There's no doubt. He said, no doubt they're going to continue. Now, how do we know that we love the children of God? Look at 1 John 5, 2. By this we know that we love the children of God. Now what would you think is going to come next? Now look what he said. When we love God and keep his commandments. That's how we know we love the children of God. When we love God and keep his commandments. Now some might put on a show of love, but it not be the love of God. He's saying, you know, some might have natural love, or they might show love for personal gain or for some other vain reasons. Eventually, usually, it ceases because they just can't keep up the show. Or something else comes along that is more profitable for them, and they go after that, you know. They can't keep up the charade. But in those that God has first loved, wherever God has first loved, and He's birthed you again, and He's put a love in your heart, wherever He's done that, He makes us really love Him. Really love Him. I know we don't speak about our love, but the Scriptures do. And we do love Him. We do love Him. Now, we're not talking about the quality of His love and the quantity of His love, but we love Him. If we didn't have sinful flesh, there would be perfect love for Him. We'd have perfect love for Him. But we do love Him. And when you love Him, you truly desire to please Him. When you love somebody, you want to please them. And when you love God, when He's given you a love and you love God, you want to please Him by doing whatever He tells you to do. That's just so. That's just what He does in you. It makes you want to obey Him. It's not to obtain a righteousness. That's not what He's saying. It's our motivation is because Christ has made us righteous. And He's made us holy. He's made us see what great love He's loved us with. That's what motivates us. That's what He's talking about. By this we know the love, that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. Listen to what Christ said. John 14:21, He said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loveth me." He said, "If a man love me, he will keep my words." He said, "If he that loveth me not, he keepeth not my sayings." John said, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments." And God our Savior said, "This is my commandment." Here it is. "That you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." He's saying this, greater love hath no man than Christ, who laid down his life for his friends. And He said, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." You're going to prove you've been elected by God. You're going to prove you've been redeemed by God. You're going to prove you've been born of God. You're going to prove you've been kept by God. You're going to prove that God's put His love in you if you keep His commandments. He said, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we really love God and we really want to keep His commandments." Now here's what He's saying. This is the simple version of that. He's saying love is only true when it's of God and when the motivation of the heart is Christ's love for us. That's what He's saying. When you really love God and that's the motive of your heart is love, that's when you really love your brethren. You see, a person could do all the same things that a believer does outwardly in an expression of love toward brethren. They could do the same exact thing. One of them is doing it because he's trying to indebt God. He's trying to earn a righteousness and put on a show and make you think something that's not so. He's not loving you, the brethren. The other one is doing it solely because the motive of his heart is love. He loves God and he wants to keep his commandment. God said that one is loving his brethren. You get what he's saying? All right, here's the last thing. The love of God always accomplishes obedience in all his people. It always does. It says there in verse 3, "All this is so because this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." He first loved us. You look back up there. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. He first loved us, and thereby we love Him. God's love is perfected in us. Thereby we love one another. And Christ said, as we keep His commandments, when you love Him, when He's put this love in your heart, now He says, you're going to keep My commandments. And He said, and as you keep My commandments, My Father now come to you and will abide in you and I'll manifest Myself to you in the gospel and in other ways. I'll manifest Myself to you. And what's that going to make you do? Love Him and love your brethren. You see, He's saying this is a unity thing. It's a bond that's unbreakable. When He first loves you and puts love in you, you're going to love Him. And you're going to desire to keep His commandments. And as you do, He says, I'm going to manifest Myself to you. And that's just going to make you love Him more. And make you love your brethren more. Now, what is included in Christ's commandment to love our brethren? And when He does this, let me say this too. When He does this, the commandment's not grievous anymore. What does that mean, grievous? You young people here that you don't really want to come here. I know that. You don't want to come here. Mom and Daddy makes you come and you come, but see, really and truly, if you had your way, you wouldn't be here. It's grievous to you. I know. It used to be grievous to me, too. I didn't want to go either. But now I want to go. I want to be in the house of the Lord now. That's what He's talking about. Now these things that Christ says do, they're not grievous at all. At one time, I heard the preacher say, believe on Christ, and that was grievous to me. I couldn't believe on Him. I didn't want to believe on Him. Now, no problem at all. I want to believe on Him. I pray, Lord, help me believe on You more. What's included in Christ's commandment to love our brethren? Well, when you're reading the Bible, and all of these commands that you come across in the epistles, in the New Testament, that's all Christ's commandments. Everything it says there is Christ's commandments to us. That's the rule we're under. That, and every bit of it is just for our good. That's all it is. And if we love Him, this is what He's saying, if the love of God is in us, we want to obey Him. That's our desire, to do whatever He says in this book. I want to show you a few examples. Go to Ephesians 4. Now, we love one another in our union together as the church of God under the gospel of Christ. This is the context of loving one another. In our union together as the church of God under the gospel of Christ. And the reason that this is it is because this is the means God has ordained to save His people. That when He says it pleased God to save His people, it doesn't mean just that first hour when He gives you faith and brings you to confess Him and all that. It means every day from then on to the end. This is how He's saving us. Through the preaching of the Word. This is how He's going to call out His lost sheep, through this Word. This is the context in which we love one another. It doesn't mean that when we go out of here we don't love each other. It means you are the church of God, not this building. And we're together, we love each other. When we're apart, we love each other. When we meet at one another's house, whatever. This is the context of it, though, as His church, as His body, together. Now, after praying, you remember the end of Ephesians 3, he prayed that God would root and ground them in love. He prayed that they might behold the love of Christ that passes knowledge and be filled with the fullness of God. Now listen to what he says, why he said that. Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, knowing God to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. All those things he just mentioned. That's the spirit. That's the heart of love. That's how we love right there. In lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, you suffer long. It means what it says. It's not something that's necessarily pleasant with your brother. You're suffering, but you suffer long. You bear with them. You forbear with them in love. Listen, charity suffereth long. Charity's kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. All these things are in the heart. You get that? It doesn't behave itself unseemly. That's outward. It seeketh not our own. It's not selfish. That's inward. It's not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. See, that's what he's saying here. He didn't give that long a list of things, but he just said there in Ephesians 4. And you remember Christ, how forbearing and how long-suffering he was with the apostles. They walked with him all that time, and they didn't really know. They didn't know what he was going to do on the cross. They were saved. He had saved them. He had called them. But they didn't really understand what he was going to do on the cross. They still thought, even after he was resurrected, they still thought he was going to restore the kingdom to Israel in this earth. But did Christ lose his patience with them and say, well, if you don't believe this fact, you're lost? No. He said, there's many things I have to say to you, but you can't bear them now. But when the Spirit's come, He'll lead you into all truth. He'll glorify me. You see, what we learn by that, looking at Christ, what we learn is faith must be involved with our love for one another. You have to believe Christ and trust your brethren to Christ to teach them and edify them and build them up and make them to stand and keep them standing and keep them planted. You can't love them otherwise. We can't love one another unless we trust in one another to Christ. When a man loses his patience and, you know, gets offended about something and forsakes the brethren and forsakes the gospel, you don't believe God's sovereign. If you believe God's sovereign, trust Him to teach your brother and be long-suffering with them and forbear with them. And this is what we're called to do. And this is what God's people do. If faith and love are intertwined, look here at verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Why? Because we're one. There's one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. My brother and I are members of the same body. And he said, the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. He said, no, but those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. That means every one of you together are necessary. I can't say, you know, because I'm the pastor, this would make me a better illustration. What if one day I just said, well, I'm just not necessary, I won't go? Well, it's the same for you. We're all necessary because we're one. You wouldn't just lop off some part of your body. We'd just say, well, I don't need that. We're necessary. Look here. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. There's another reason we can't be anything but long-suffering. Because if any of us has grace, it's because Christ gave it to us and He only gives you the measure He's pleased to give. I can't expect a babe in Christ to act like a mature believer because Christ ain't given him that grace yet. Look on right here. Where are we using this grace? Look at verse 11. He gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to Christ's body's complete. He said, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's the unity of the faith. And God chose this means in wisdom for the safety of His people. Look at verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. This is for our protection. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Now watch this sovereign work that Christ accomplishes. From whom, from Christ, the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted. God said, I'm going to plant my people, and they're going to dwell in a place of their own and move no more. He said, those that be planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. In every local church where He has His people, He plants you fitly framed together and compacted so you can't move in part at all. Look. Back there, he says, verse 16, and it's every joint supplies what's needed. That means every member, according to Christ's effectual working in the measure of every part. According to Christ effectually working in you and you and you and you and you. Everybody supplies what everybody needs because Christ is working in us all. And what's the result? He makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And so you know what He tells us? He said, let us draw near with a true heart, full assurance. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith because He's faithful that promised. That means we're going to do all this depending entirely upon God. And He says, and let us not forsake. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Because if we sin willfully, after we've heard this gospel and we go out and part with Christ, part with His people, there's no more offering, there's no more sacrifice for sins. Just a fearful looking for of judgment. I can't hold fast my profession. I can't consider you. I can't provoke you to love and good works. I can't exhort you if I disobey Christ and sin willfully and forsake assembling together with you. I can't do that, any of that, if I'm not here with you. Imagine if everybody, every believer said, well, I don't have to be there. They won't miss me. I'm just going to go. There wouldn't be anybody. John said in that first chapter, He's given us the fellowship with His saints, fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son, and we walk in light. We walk together. Right here together. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5. I want to read you one more thing and I'll be done. In the second chapter, you remember He said, don't forsake this gospel for the world. Don't love the world. He's saying to us, don't forsake your brethren. Don't forsake Christ for the world. He's saying, don't arrange assembling together with your brethren and the things that are needed full in the church. Don't arrange that around your life in the world. Arrange whatever's going on in the world around this. Don't ever look for a place to work and then go, well, now I'm going to see if there's a church there. That's not giving Christ the preeminence. Find a church and then say, now we'll see if there's a job there. You see, that's some people in this world have never done that. They never had it in that order. It's always been they living for the world and then just giving God the scraps. Look at this. 1 John 5:8. I'm just going to read this a good bit of this, but it tells you what these things are. What's involved in loving brethren? Let us who are of the day be sober, verse 8, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. This covers the heart, the faith and love. And for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, here's love, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. That's talking about pastors. And he says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, warn them, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, preaching, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. That means if it appears to have just a little bit of untruth in it, abstain from it. Whatever the message is you hear and it sounds just off a little bit, abstain from it. That's what he's talking about. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. That's what he's talking about. You go through the New Testament, read the epistles. Everything they said, they got it directly from Christ. You can read John and then go back over and read John's gospel, and everything he's writing, he got it from Christ. And if we love him, we want to keep his commandments. And that's what his love creates in his people. Amen.